Well, good morning to everybody. I'm happy to be here this morning and thankful to the Lord that together with my family we are able to worship together. It is a privilege. This morning, I'd like to speak from the Book of Lamentations. The Book of Lamentations, namely chapter 3, verse 24. Now, normally you would hear, or what's familiar in coming out of the Book of Lamentations, chapter 3, is verse 22 and 23. The Lord's loving kindness or compassion never cease, his compassions never fail, his loving kindness, right? And they are new every morning. His mercy is new every morning. And great is your faithfulness. But what I would like to speak on this morning is the verse that follows that says, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him." The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. I'd like to read Lamentations chapter 3, verse 1 through 24, just to get the idea or get the context to understand it. So if you have your Bibles with you, open up to Lamentations chapter 3. And I'll begin reading from the NASB. "I am the man who has seen affliction. Because of the rod of his wrath, he has driven me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely against me he has turned his hand repeatedly all the day. He has caused my flesh and my skin to waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and encompassed me with bitterness and hardship. In dark places he has made me dwell like those who have long been dead. He has walled me in so that I cannot go out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cry out and call for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. He is to me like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in secret places. He has turned aside my ways and torn me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He bent his bow and set me as a target for the arrow. He made the arrows of his quiver to enter into my inward parts. I have become a laughingstock to all my people, their mocking song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drunk with wormwood. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has made me cower in the dust. My soul has been rejected from peace. I have forgotten happiness. So I say my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him." Amen. Well, let me pray. Father, we do come before you. This morning, Lord, let our hearts rest in you, delight in you. Let us, O Lord, trust in you. Father, we want this to be our statement of faith. We want this to be what we speak out, that you, O Lord, are our portion indeed. And Father, this morning we ask that you would open up our hearts to understand the word, Lord, that is before us. Father, we ask that you fill this place up with your presence, O Lord, and that your word may penetrate deep within the hearts of men and women and children. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. My hope this morning is really to impart to you what has been on my heart, what's been on my mind lately, several months now. Just deep within, been thinking about it, and especially now, I think appropriate in light of all that is happening in our country, all that is happening around us. We're not those without hope. As Brother Phil mentioned, we're ones that are filled with much hope and trust in the God, our God, who is sovereign. But a question that I have asked myself lately, and a self-evaluation that goes deeper than just the words that maybe I've said, penetrate deep into who I am, the way I live my life, are these words. Is the Lord my portion? Is the Lord my portion? And so within this phrase here before us this morning, the Lord is my portion, there, quite naturally, it breaks up into maybe three parts. The Lord, my portion, and then my soul. The Lord, my portion, my soul. And so the writer, in the midst of all that is happening, or was happening to the city of God, and ultimately to the people of God, if we remember, the book of Lamentations was one where the judgment of God fell upon the people of God. And there is the writer to the book of Lamentations. Some say it's Jeremiah, others say it's another man, so we'll just say it's the writer to the book of Lamentations, pours out, really, in very descriptive language and words of what's taking place there among the people of God. And he was able to make a declaration here, as we read this morning, that resounded with a confidence and a trust that really only a man of God can make. Only a man of God can make that kind of declaration that the Lord is my portion, that His mercies are new every morning, and therefore they will have hope. He will have hope. You see, another person could not and would not be able to do that aside from the power of God enabling them to be able to even say that thing, that statement, that declaration. And hence in verse 21, he also says, what a kindness. I mean, think about this. The kindness of the Lord that he says, I recall this to mind. How was he even able to recall any of this to mind? In the midst of all the turmoil, in the midst of everything that took place, he says this one thing, I recall this to mind. He does so because the Lord brought it to his mind to recall. But before we take a look at all of this, I want us to understand what is meant by the word portion. In order for us to grasp what the writer is saying here this morning and what we ought to be saying and what we need to understand from the word, from this word, portion, we need to understand what it means. Throughout Scripture, portion is used in various ways. It can be something that is distributed or received. Both my wife and I are Romanian, and so if you would be at my parents' home or my parents-in-law's home, you would not receive just a single portion sitting at the dinner table because it's the Romanian way. No, you need to have more. You said one scoop of mashed potatoes? No, you need more scoops of mashed potatoes. And so it's something, a portion, double portion, triple portion. It's what you receive. It's what you distribute. But it can also be regarding land or inheritance. You think about the prodigal son. He had an inheritance, in this case, not land, but money, and he squandered it. And that can also be something that he received as well, pertaining to the first definition that I said. But here in our context, and what I'm focusing on this morning, is this word portion that means quite simply to have a share or a part in. And even more, maybe a better definition is this, to have a portion in someone. means to be affiliated with that person or to belong to that person's company or community. That which is most dear and close to a person. My dear wife, Ligia, after 20 years, she is my portion. She is my wife and I am her husband. She is my portion and I am her portion. As it pertains to our union before God as a husband and wife, we belong to each other. And that goes for our children as well. They are our portion. Although they'll one day get married, but I'll still claim them as my portion. But what about the text that is before us then? Have you considered the Lord your portion? Well, this verse, "the Lord is my portion," is rooted really in a unique relationship. It's rooted in a deep relationship. And you see, before any of us can even make such a declaration, we must first understand how it is even possible to make such a statement, one that is spoken from faith. So I'd like to focus on the Lord. Brethren, the privilege, or better said, the choice is ours, but not by our doing. Without the Lord making the first move, the creator of each and every one of us, the life giver, the good shepherd that said, "these are mine." Without the Lord making the declaration, "before the foundations of the earth, I have chosen you." Without the wonderful news of his love and the source of ours, right? We love because he first loved us. We couldn't and wouldn't have the Lord as our portion. Our souls would not be able to say, "the Lord is my portion." I understand anybody can say these words. We understand that. But not everybody can say them with true meaning and faith. The only reason we are truly able to say and personalize these words, applying our portion to the Lord, is because we are first and foremost the Lord's portion. We are his portion. Deuteronomy 32:9 states this: "the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the allotment of his inheritance." The Lord said to you, about you, that you are his portion, his share, his part. And it was the unconditional, unchanging, the unrelenting, the unending covenantal love of God for you and for me. If the holy angels should utter these words, we're not in amazement. But if a sinful person should utter these words, "the Lord is my portion," there's something just not right there. Think about our portion by nature. Borrowing from John Owen, he says, "sin was our choice, misery our state, and wrath our inheritance." That was our choice by nature, our portion by nature. There wasn't anything good in us that would convince God that we are his choice or prime pick to be his portion. Israel was reminded of this, and it is good for us to be reminded of this as well. In Deuteronomy 7:6-9, says this: "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God." You see how he describes them first off. "The Lord of your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession, a special treasure, a portion out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." And here are the Israelites getting a big head, thinking, "wow, that's us. This is who God has chosen." But continues, "the Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples. For you were the fewest of all peoples, but because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." That's what the Lord has done. Wasn't this our lot as well? Nothing in us. But on the contrary, we were also part of that house of slavery to sin. We were slaves to sin, under the bondage of sin. That was our portion and to whom we belonged. But now we are in the house of God. covered by the love of God. And this is because in his great love, he said, you are my portion. You are my portion. And the writer states this, the Lord's loving kindness never ceases. It never ends, his loving kindness towards his people. And it is because of that that we are not consumed. You ever think about that for a moment? That if the loving kindness, the love of the Father would ever cease for a however small of a fraction of a time, that we would be consumed? How great is his faithfulness in keeping his love for us? Not to mention his mercy that is new every morning. It is unmatched. It runs deep, his mercy. Oh, brethren, we belong to him. And as it says in Isaiah, we are precious in his sight. You tell me, to whom does he speak? To whom does God speak when he says, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. Or to whom does he say this? The mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you. And my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Or what about this? I have loved you with an everlasting love, a love that doesn't have a beginning nor an end. His love for you has always been. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. What about in Zephaniah 3:17, where he says, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you or exalt over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love, and he will exalt over you with loud singing. Tell me, what kind of God is this, that he does this very thing? Spurgeon on this very verse says this, who could have conceived of the Eternal One as bursting forth into a song? Yet it is written, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. And as he looked upon the world, he spoke and said, it is very good. But he did not sing. And as he vieweth the works of providence, I hear not that he sings. But when he gazes on you and on me, the purchase of Jesus' blood, his own chosen ones, the great heart of the infinite restrains itself no longer. But wonder of wonders and miracle of miracles, God, the Eternal One, sings out of joy of his soul. Truly, the Lord's portion is his people. Brethren, this is our God. And all of this would not be if it wasn't for the love of the Father for the Son. Thanks be to the God of heaven being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive in together with Christ Jesus, for by grace you have been saved. It is because of Christ. You know, he is the remedy to the multiple doubts or questions that may arise in our hearts and minds. Look away from yourself. I need to look away from myself, and we need to look to Christ Jesus. In and through and because of him, we are God's portion. Paul understood this, and his response was one of thanksgiving. In Colossians 1:12, what we read earlier, we give thanks to the Father. Why? Listen to what the Father did. He has qualified us to share in the portion or the inheritance of the holy ones in light. God has qualified us in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is all of grace. We were unqualified. He made us fit and worthy. He made us qualified, able to enjoy and to be and to have that portion and that share, the inheritance of the holy ones in light, declaring us his portion, his lot, his inheritance, and he is faithful to the end to keep that which belongs to him. Remember that. But in light of the Lord choosing us as his inheritance, our response is to be like the writer of the book saying, the Lord is my portion. So in light of the Lord saying, you are my portion, our response ought to be and should be and will should always be, Lord, yes, you are my portion. You are my share. You are my all in all. You are my inheritance. You are my reward. You are everything to me. Everything else will fade. Everything else fails. But you, Lord, you are my portion. You are my help. You are my salvation. You are my redeemer. You are my beloved, and I am yours. There is no other that I belong to. There is no other that I claim as my everything. But brethren, sadly, this is not always true in a believer's life. This is not always the case that we call out and we say these things and we believe these things with our whole heart and minds and bodies. Unlike God, who is changing, we are. To Him, we were and always are His portion. But looking on the other side, we don't always say, the Lord is my portion. You know, even in our rebellion, speaking of the Lord having us as His portion, even in our rebellion against Him, you know, that is why He pursued us. That's why He came after us with His great love. To redeem all that belonged to Him, to redeem His portion, to which we say, what manner of love is this? And that's only because we can say, along with the disciples, ask the question, but we know the answer. What kind of man is this? That even the winds and the sea obey Him. There is no man like this. There is no love like this. It's unmatched. Because it's that everlasting love. But we, on the other hand, we're so fickle. We're so tossed to and fro with the circumstances around us. One moment He may be our portion, and the next we speak a different word. Who is our portion changes with our circumstances at times. But brethren, it shouldn't be this way, and we can't live this way. If you look at the writer in the third chapter of Lamentations, before he makes this awesome declaration that the Lord is his portion, he's there. He's there in the midst of the outpouring judgment and wrath of God upon the people of God. Against Israel. And he's sharing in the affliction of Israel. He doesn't exclude himself. He says he includes himself as the first person. He's there. And we even read it in our opening text at the beginning as to how he felt. Especially in verse 8. When I cry out for help, he shuts out my prayer. You ever felt like that? What about verse 18? So I say, my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. Brethren, these things are real. And we experience these things. And one who doesn't experience, who says he doesn't or she doesn't experience these things is only fooling themselves. This is another reason why we need the Savior. And we need Him, the Holy Spirit, to recall to our own minds, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. But it's a grim situation the writer's in the book of Lamentations. When you get home, read it. It's not that long. You can read it. Very descriptive of what is going on, of what is happening, what the people of God are actually doing. But the situation that the writer finds himself in is a very unique one. Because the same God who declares them to be his portion is the one who has ordained the suffering and exile. His judgment and anger is against them. That's true. He says in Lamentations 3:38, he comes to grips with it and he says, is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both good and ill go forth? This is similar to what Job was speaking. But not without reason. You see, in the first chapter, we are told that Jerusalem has sinned greatly. And that there are a multitude of transgressions. Calvin will put it like this. He says, this is not because of one or two incidences. This is the result of an ongoing history of rebellion. But, in the kindness of God, what does the writer do? He catches a glimpse of who God was and is towards his people, a merciful and faithful Father. One commentator says this, his compassion is greater than his anger. So, in the middle of the book of Lamentations, the writer makes this declaration among the other resounding truths, the Lord is my portion. Can you say that this morning? Can you say, the Lord is my portion? Can you say, give me my portion, give me my Lord? May it be so. But I'm afraid that although we may say it with our lips, here, maybe in this atmosphere, maybe in this circumstance, this situation, that with our lips we may say it, but our way of life, our actions may tell a different story. But if this is not you, then all I ask is that you have patience with me as I go deeper. Because I want to ask certain questions to all of you that I've asked myself, a series of questions that really made me pause and think. And you don't have to, I just ask that you listen here. And let the Lord work in your own heart as to how you will answer. If the Lord is your portion, how much of a portion does he occupy? How satisfied are you with the Lord as your portion? How content are you in your present condition, status, circumstance? When being tempted, is the Lord your portion? What about in your misery and your doubt? Is the Lord your portion? If the Lord is your portion, how often do you seek or pursue after him? How often do you think about him? How often do you talk to him? And how often does he speak to you? What conditions or demands are there in your own mind, in your own thoughts, in order for you to say, to come to the conclusive statement that the Lord is my portion? In other words, the Lord is my portion, or I will have him as my portion only after, or when I reach this point in my life, or have such and such a thing, or feel in such and such a way, then the Lord is my portion. In other words, only after my other portions have been filled, I can say the Lord is my portion. Is the Lord your portion only when you have reached the end of all you can do in a situation, when all other possibilities or options have been exhausted? When you are undone? Is the Lord your portion when your health is declining so ever so rapidly? When you lose a loved one, or when the suffering doesn't let up, or when you lose your job, or as the writer wrote, you feel as if he shuts out your prayers? And you could fill in the blank of many more things, many more trials and difficulties that may come your way. But the question remains, the question lingers, is the Lord, is he your portion? I'm suspecting that maybe many of us are in this category, meaning this, that in the kindness of God, being that he provides, being that he cares for his people so abundantly, that in the midst of his provision and care, we have become self-sufficient and comfortable. I'll repeat, that in the kindness of God, being that he provides and he cares for his people so abundantly, that in the midst of his provision and care, we have become self-sufficient and comfortable. It is written of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 32, right after Moses spoke of how the Lord alone guided them. The Lord was their guide. He was their shield. He was their strong tower, that He carried them along. He made them ride in high places of the earth. They ate only of the finest foods and were well cared for. It was evident that it was the Lord's doing, that He was their portion. I'm reminded of how they walked through the wilderness and not a, what does it say, not a hole in their garments or wearing out their sandals. He provided everything for them. There was food when they needed it. There was water when they needed it. Although they complained, He provided. And after Moses is saying this, he says this in verse 15. He says that Israel grew fat and kicked. That Israel forsook the God who made him and scorned the rock of his salvation. Brethren, I'm not saying that we have forsaken the Lord and walked away from the faith. What I am saying is this, that we have neglected to have the Lord as our portion. Completely, fully, the Lord is my portion. That is who the Lord is. He's enough for me. We have found other portions. And I want to ask you to evaluate yourself. I'm not presuming. I'm speaking because I was looking at myself. Living this life in America, having what we want more than what we need. I want us to ask and evaluate ourselves rightly, calling on the Holy Spirit to show us where we are lacking or thinking wrongly. There are many schemes of the enemy to distract you, me, from having the Lord as our portion. Countless. And having other portions that will attempt to fill the void. Maybe you have been fooled to lie to. But I'll tell you something this morning. There is nothing that will satisfy until the Lord is your portion. Nothing. You can pursue after status. You can pursue after money, financial gain, other things that will bring you happiness, that you think will bring you happiness. Or on the other hand, you can live a mediocre life. I don't need any of that. I'm happy with what I am. I'm going to live a mediocre, quiet lifestyle, and you think you have arrived. You think you have arrived. You're at peace with everyone. You lack nothing. But if the Lord is not your portion, you lack everything. When the Lord is your portion, this needs to be of every one of us here thinking that when the Lord is our portion, He is an everlasting portion. When the Lord is your portion, He is an all-sufficient portion. When the Lord is your portion, He is an all-satisfying portion. When the Lord is your portion, He is an all-wise portion. He is an all-loving portion. He is a sure and steady portion. He is the most beautiful portion. He is the most pleasant portion. He is a most happy and blessed portion. He is the incomparable portion. He is the free portion. And there is no portion like Him. And when you have the Lord as your portion, nothing and nobody can take that away. Think about it. When Martha was flustered, when Martha was flustered and came to the Lord about her sister Mary, who was at the feet of Jesus, what was the response of our Savior, of our teacher? Martha, Martha, you are worried. You are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, Martha. For Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her. Have you the best, the most wonderful, satisfying portion, the Lord Jesus Christ? If you do, He can't be taken away. Rest in that. Think about Mary when she goes to the tomb to see the body of Jesus. She was weeping. She's approached by the two angels. And the two angels say to her as she is weeping, and her response to them is, "They have taken away my Lord. They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid Him." She was concerned. She wanted the Lord Jesus Christ as her portion. Therefore, she was weeping. May that be our mindset. May that be the way we live our lives. I want to see my Lord. I want to be with my Lord. Look and see what the psalmist says about the Lord being his portion. There are psalms filled with, the Lord is my portion, my inheritance, my share. And maybe this is you. Maybe this is how you feel this morning. But let this be our response as the psalmist wrote, Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but you? These words are rich. And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. In other words, those who are not the Lord's portion. Those are the ones that are the unfaithful ones. Those are the ones that will be destroyed. But as for me, the nearness of God is for my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of your works. Psalm 16, the psalmist says, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. The Lord is my inheritance. He is my cup. Yes, the cup that overflows. He's the one that makes it overflow. Psalm 142, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Here upon this earth, the Lord is my portion. He's not only my portion in the world to come, eternal life with Him. He is my portion now in the land of the living. Psalm 119, the Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. I sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. You see, brethren, this is a reminder for us to keep our eyes on the Savior. This is a reminder that our thoughts, our actions are to be aligned with whose we are and who we belong to, the Lord Jesus Christ. Being committed in obedience because of the love of Christ that constrains us. That when we weigh all that is around us and all that we are about, that we can say and our deepest desire to have is the Lord as our portion. With all our heart, mind, and strength. Lastly, we saw that the Lord makes the first move. And that because He has chosen us, we can rightly say, the Lord is my portion. But lastly, the writer personalizes this statement. He says my soul. Says my soul. At the end of the statement, he adds this. And it's really meaning this, in the deepest part of who I am, at my core, my soul says this, the Lord is my portion. Though my heart and my flesh may fail, this I know, I am fully convinced the Lord is my portion. And therefore I have hope in Him. Hope now, hope in the future. It's a living hope, as is written in 1 Peter. It's a living hope because it is accompanied by faith, and it's a hope that never dies. Listen, if God is for us, who can be against us? How persuaded are you, brethren? How convinced are you that neither famine, nor nakedness, nor sword, nor death, nor life can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, your portion? How convinced are you? How persuaded are you? Our hope and faith is this, that He truly forgives. That He truly gives understanding. That He truly gives much grace and mercy for each day. That He will never cast us away. That He has a place prepared for us. That where He is, we may be also. So brethren, do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Seek the Lord. Seek Him as your portion, as your all in all. In spite or Doesn't matter what is happening in the world. Now, of course, it matters. But what I'm saying is this. In light of who God is and Him as your portion, don't let any of these things distract you, take you away, lose sight, lose focus of who God is. The very fact that you are His portion, you belong to Him. So in return, cry out and say, "Oh Lord, You are my portion and I want more of You. I want more of You." But those of you here that do not have the Lord as your portion, may I just speak to you here shortly. And I'll be as honest as I can be based on the Word of God. You have no hope in this world. You have no true joy nor comfort in this world. You are tossed to and fro, looking for a place to rest and say that I finally found my portion in this life. But you have not and will not. You have been fooled to think that this world can offer you portions that will satisfy. The portions the enemy would have for you are this. They're hard to get. And you will be unhappy and miserable once you've obtained it. And the enemy will let you believe, fool you, lie to you, that it will be impossible, but it will be impossible to keep. You think you can keep that which you've gained, that portion, but you're unhappy and miserable. Oh, if the veil would be lifted off your eyes, if you would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if the veil would be lifted, you would see that the morsels that are being fed to you are but lies, lies of the enemy, and leading you to destruction. The psalmist said it well and true. Behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. If the Lord is not your portion, you cannot be faithful to Him. I pray, friend, that this is not you. So I must ask the question, what is the delay? The truth has been spoken, presented to you. Scripture is clear of that. The Word of God stands. Here today, you can have the portion of all or any portions, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Nothing sweeter nor more satisfying. Everlasting is He as your portion. Let us pray. Father, oh truly, Lord, we come to You. For where else can we go? Who have I in heaven but You, O Lord? You, O Lord, are my strong tower. You are our refuge. You indeed, O Lord, have pulled us out of the pit of sin and have crowned us with loving kindness and compassion. You've set our feet on high ground. Lord, there is no God like You. There is no love like You. And Lord, may we experience that even this morning, Lord, and to cry out, "Oh Lord, You are my portion." That this very day, Lord, we may all with one voice say, "You are my portion." Oh Lord, that You satisfy us and that You fill us. Oh Lord, we don't want anything else but Jesus. Help us, Lord, this very day. Lord, recall this, these things to our mind. Lord, for us to rejoice in the God of our salvation. Thank You, Father, for Your loving kindness and Your mercy that never ceases, but is new every morning. Today, this morning, We experience your mercy once again, new. That was not yesterday, nor will be tomorrow. It's here today. Lord, I pray for those that do not know you. Oh, Lord, that you would make yourself known to them. Lord, that you would draw them near with cords of love, that they may make that declaration, I thought I knew what a portion was, but when I met the Lord on high, he is the portion of all portions. Lord, may it be so this morning. And Lord, let our hearts and affections arise to you as we remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who made this very status, condition in our own lives possible, this change, this adoption. Oh, that we are called your sons and daughters, and that you are our portion. We thank you, Father, and we glory your name. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.